Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MB Pro Call. Today is November 14th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts or going to MotorVitality.com. Sounds like we got a little bit of background noise. I think the person that just came on, so if you could maybe mute your phone, please. Thank you. That's awesome. Feel free to unmute if you have any questions or comments or thoughts. I'd love that. So going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with? Any questions that anybody has? Thoughts, comments, anything?
Kelly, I don't remember if I've talked about this in the past, the near past. If I am repeating myself, I apologize. But it came up again this week. I got a Facebook direct message from somebody saying that their housekeeper had recommended that they get a new softener because they've been having issues with their softener, and it wasn't a matter of, you know, iron or anything like that. It was just the hardness and the housekeeper having a hard time with cleaning the toilets and the showers and stuff like that. So, you know, when we talk about having relationships, there is somebody to build a relationship with. Is if you have either a cleaning company or a cleaning person hi, Pops.
How are you doing?
How are you? Anyway. So you just made my heart happy to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I'm good. So to finish my sentence, sorry guys, is the housekeepers, cleaning companies, those are excellent resources to build relationships with, because you're making their job so much easier if you're if the homeowner has a properly working softener.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that goes all the way back to those. First off, there's a couple things in what you just said there, Jen. Relationships, anybody that has anything at all to do with water, you can build those relationships. There are potential relationships there. Although just contacting them once and saying hello and talking about that referral relationship is not going to do it. You got to continue to build that relationship and follow up with them and let them know who you are. Another thing is, a lot of times people go to those two Facebook forums or community association forums or, you know, different groups that are online in the community to ask that question. I mean, if you haven't, in the Facebook groups especially, you can find one of your local groups. You know, there's moms groups and there's homeowners groups and just all kinds of groups. And if you join those, and you'll be astounded at how often somebody will ask that question and may connect you with somebody like the housekeeper and stuff like that. So, and making sure that you have, you know, people are going to be looking for you, making sure that you have those positive reviews and comments about it. But you're right, Jen, that's a prime example of the type of individual that we can, you know, build relationships with and follow up with. Who else has anything? Anybody else have any thoughts or comments before we get into our topic?
Hey, this is Jason. We did the realtor meeting and that was fun, and I really appreciate the extra information. Well, I don't know if it was really extra when we went through the water quality test, but when you dove into the numbers when it came to what we recycle, how much that we recycle when it comes to plastic bottles and how that's recycling through the water system, and then it's coming down and rain droplets and stuff like that, was very powerful. information to hear in the way that you presented it. So that was one thing I didn't know, but now I wish I did know before.
Well, thank you. That's part of that question that we hardly ever get is the I wish I had known before part. Thank you, Jason. That part made my day. I always ask that. I appreciate that. So what Jason's referring to for everybody else, Jason and Corey scheduled that they're two of our MV pros from one of our clients, and they scheduled a meeting as a guest with Coldwell Banker, one of the large realtor areas or agencies from the area where they are. And there were probably 20 realtors in the room. We had 10 to 15 minutes. They invited me to present there and just to kind of give them a format. I am going to be putting that recording up on motivitality.com if anybody wants to know how to model that type of a presentation, you know, what to say and what to talk about. We'll put some comments and notes on that. So we will be uploading that to the website. But it was pretty cool. We went in and did a 10-minute presentation. Basically, there's a general water treatment quiz on motivitality.com on the tools section that you can download and use as a guide, and that's exactly what we did. It has 10 general water treatment questions. It's not salesy. We didn't go in there as a salesperson and try and sell them on why they should be using, this company or it just educated them enough to make them realize that Corey and Jason will be an excellent resource for them, you know. And we spoke afterwards about the necessity of continue to follow up and to build those relationships and to continue to make them realize that we have that type of information that we can share with them to make them more professional. It was all of them were very engaged, and as we left, they were, telling us that was one of the best ones they'd had, and it was a really good one, and, because they have guest speakers in every week at this meeting. And by the way, that's not unusual. Just about every large real estate agency out there has regular sales meetings where people come in and gather, and it's an excellent opportunity to get in front of all of them. I actually had a blast doing that, and I love doing those. They're just a lot of fun. But if you want to know more information on how to set that up, then let us know that too. So, anybody else? So we had sometimes some of the topics that I come up with for this call are spawned directly from topics of conversation that come up with various clients or different individuals. And that's why I thought this was a good topic to discuss on statistics, on knowing your stats. Many of you most of you, in fact, that have listened to these calls or any of the training that MotiVitality offers in the past know that we talk an awful lot about emulating the characteristics of what other professionals do. And when you take a look at other professionals, there are a lot of similarities. And we've talked about doctors in the past, and in particular, I really like to highlight the education necessary for a doctor and also the way they ask questions, in terms of emulating those characteristics. But I wanted to talk about sports professionals. Professional sports today, they have many of the same characteristics. I mean, they are dressed appropriately. They have a uniform that identifies them as, to what they do. They make an above average income typically. There's a tremendous amount of practice and knowledge and effort that goes, even if you have natural skill. Professional sports players have to practice a lot in order to hone those skills. There's a lot of people out there with natural athletic ability that do not make it in the professional area of sports because they have not put in the time to really practice or develop those opportunities. And so just having a natural skill alone doesn't quite do it. One of the things, though, in particular with sports that I think you'll find in common with all of them is that they are very aware of what their statistics are, and they're really constantly trying to have the best stats out there. You know, I've seen interviews with professional football players that they're very concerned about their fantasy football rating. They want to know, you know, they take a lot of pride in having the stats that make them the number one draft pick on a fantasy league, you know, and or, you know, in baseball, the RBIs or, you know, the whatever sports that is, you know, in basketball, the shots, you know, versus, you know, their points per game or their turnovers or, you know, so most of these professional athletes are going to know what their statistics are. So if we are emulating some of the characteristics of other professionals, it stands to reason that that's something that we should be taking a look at as well, that we should be very, very, very aware of what our stats are. So I'm going to open it up here and ask you guys, what are some of the statistics? What are some of the numbers that you think we should know? And how are you guys tracking them? How are you relying strictly on your company to track those numbers for you? Or are you aware of what those numbers are? And what are you tracking and how are you tracking it?
Kelly, I know that our MV Pros, when they first start out, we have a sales and pending report that they do. And it goes on a monthly, weekly, which turns into a monthly. The spreadsheet turns into a monthly. And it's very simple. They just list how many appointments sales that they made, creative and house leads. And then how many are pending, and it should equal out to basically how many appointments they ran for that week, and then it just transfers over. We do the 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, whatever's in the month, and it turns into a monthly report. So, but it's a very simple how many you sold, how many are pending.
Yeah, so just to know basically what the closing ratio was. Anybody else tracking anything or keeping track, or what are you tracking or looking at?
This is Stacy. We keep a sheet on the Google Shared Drive that we all have to track our numbers in. Same thing. It's leads, appointments, leads, scheduled appointments, self-generated leads, how many appointments we run, what we sold, what we rented. And then dollar amounts.
Stacy, is that something you check regularly? Do you check your
We have to fill it out weekly. So.
Right, but if I were to ask you right now what your closing ratio is, and you don't have to tell me, could you tell me?
Yeah.
Is that something that you monitor or take pride in improving, or you know, is it something you do because the company asked for it, or is it something that sort of drives you?
No, it's something we do because it's required for us to fill out. For me personally, it's all about the Benjamins. I track where I'm at year to date compared to previous years.
It's kind of an interesting number, isn't it, to take a look at that and see how you're doing, because it doesn't surprise you sometimes that it's different than what you thought it was. You know, sometimes you think that you're having a really good month and you look back and I'm like, oh, it was just like last year. Or something like that. Does that ever surprise you?
Not really, because I typically know where I was at last year.
Yeah, okay.
So
I can tell you that for me, and I found this to be true in a lot of instances, there can be so much about this job that can be just a feeling, you know. Oh, man, it just feels like nothing's happening. And sometimes it's nice to be able to sit and look at the data, because the data doesn't lie. If the data, you know, garbage in, garbage out, right? So if you have tracked the data accurately, then the data won't lie. It will tell you where you're at, and it will point to the areas that you need to improve. I find this interesting because way back when I was in sales, I tracked my own closing ratio, not because of the money really. Basically for me, it was because I wanted to constantly avoid a situation where I felt like I was wasting my time. So, I never really, way back when I was in sales, we weren't required when I first started to track our closing ratios or anything like that. It was just not something that was part of the organization that I was with. But I wanted to because I always thought, you know, if I've only got a 50% closing ratio, and I didn't even call it a closing ratio back then. That was a term that I wasn't really familiar with yet. But if I went on 10 appointments and only closed 5 of them, for me, it just bugged the heck out of me because I felt like those 5 were wasted time. Most of my appointments I found were in the evenings on weekends. That was when people were home. Most of them were creative leads. That's the leads that I had created myself, and so I was able to set those appointments when both homeowners would be there, and that very commonly was evenings and weekends. And so if I was going to be on an appointment, first off, there were only so many evenings and weekends that I had availability. You know, there's only so many in the day or in the week rather. That took time away from my family. You know, I had kids at home, was married. I wanted, if I was going to be out running a sales appointment, I wanted to close it. I hated not being home with my family and coming home without a sale, you know, coming home without having closed something. And so I really started taking a look at how many of those leads that I was going on, how many I was closing. And when I dropped down, I mean, I remember when I first started, I was at that 60% range. And I remember thinking, got to get this up. I've got to make this better. And that's when, you know, based on those numbers, it really, I mean, I guess it did tie into the income because obviously you close the sale, you make commission, you get more money, and that's, you know, that's a good thing. But originally for me, it wasn't the money that motivated me. I mean, you know, before I came into this industry, the most money I'd ever made was probably $40,000 a year. And so to come in and even have a kind of a basic success, you know, when I first started, it was, you know, my very first year ever in sales, I was at 67. Coming in and starting, that was my annual income that year, which was way more money than I had ever made before, way more than I would have been able to make as a teacher at that age. Which is, you know, what I went to school for. And so it wasn't for me the money. I felt like I was making really good money already. It was, for me, the time. I didn't like wasting my time. I still don't like wasting my time. I don't like going out running appointments or doing that stuff that aren't going to close. So when I didn't close them, I wanted to get that closing ratio up, and I really monitored that like crazy because I felt like, you know, I'm here to tell you, I never reached 100%, not consistently. I mean, you might have, you know, a couple weeks in a row where you're just on a roll and you just close them all, but that always evens out. Then you have a couple weeks in a row where it's down. I got to the point where I was closing at an 80 to 90% closing ratio. and even then, it always bothered me as to why I couldn't close that other 20%. You know, what was it about it? You all have heard me talk about recording, you know, going in. Back then it was a micro cassette recorder. I went in and recorded my presentations, especially if that closing ratio started dropping. But that was really critical to me. Some of the other statistics that I think are important to take a look at are, you know, the length of time in the home. You know, how long are you spending in the home, especially in today's day and age? You know, are you using the time in the home efficiently? If it's too short, are you cheating the customer out of information? Are you giving them, all the information that you need? That's a piece of information that I think is sometimes valuable and allows you to sit down and analyze and track your own performance. I know that there's a lot of companies that track those things. I think that's important. A company needs to do that from the company standpoint to make sure that the sales professionals they have on their team are producing and are basically supporting themselves. They need to track their service calls and the callbacks and that type of thing. But a sales professional, I think, if they truly are a professional, if they're striving to emulate the characteristics that other professionals have, then they should be doing it whether the company requires them to or not. It should be something of value. Another thing that to track is the dollar amount per contract, right? So this is something that I also struggled with, because with an 80 to 90% closing ratio, I'm pretty sure that there were times that I could have sold more or higher range equipment. I did not always sell the most expensive stuff that we had. Sometimes, I believed that my sales were customer-centric, but I think I fully admit that somebody with better sales skills than me could have increased the average contract amount, so... And what that is based on, you take all your contracts and you look at what divide them by the number of contracts you have, by the dollar amount on that contract, and that's a number. If you are down around the price on average of your least expensive product, that's telling. It's suggesting that maybe you're selling a lot on price. If you're somewhere in between that least expensive product and a total system, multiple products, a softener, a reverse osmosis filter, or whatever, then that's probably where you want to be, right? It probably shows that you're a little more customer centric. I suggest that often, and it's not always the case, but it's an interesting number to look at that shows that average, generally speaking, the people with the higher average dollar per contract amount, they're going to have often a little lower closing ratio, which is offsetting. That's to be expected. They're hitting for the fence. And so it makes sense that they might have a slightly lower closing ratio. It has to be a balance. On the other hand, that person who's selling strictly on price, they might have a higher closing ratio. So alone, the statistics don't necessarily tell the whole story. It does help to take a look and self-analyze and kind of focus on the areas that you might need to improve on. System sales is another one. That's another statistic that I think would be interesting to know. Do you have an 80% closing ratio, but all of your sales are just water softeners? How many of those are you only treating the water that goes on you? How many of them are treating all the water that goes on you and the water that goes in you? Taking a look at that statistic, it will help you recognize what you're talking about. I know that there's an awful lot of companies out there that would be thrilled to have a 30% system sales closing ratio. Dave, you hopped on the call. I remember having this conversation with your crew years ago that you guys hardly ever sold any reverse osmosis systems out there because I know that that's common up and down the East Coast because the TDS can be so low. But I think it's a matter of just talking about it. Because when you even in those areas, when you go down to the grocery store and you look at the bottled water aisle, there's still an entire aisle full of bottled water. People are still buying bottled water. And so if you see a lot of bottled water being sold in a grocery store, even on municipal water, there's a market for reverse osmosis systems. And so to take a look at the system sales, that's going to tell you whether or not you are actually bringing that up, you know, whether or not you're discussing it with the customers, you know. So that's one to take, you know, to take a look at. By the way, on the system sales, I just want to mention that that's one of the easiest ways to increase your income, your dollar per contract. You know, that's one of the easiest ways to do that. And you don't have to have any new customers. You can increase your income and your sales revenue and your all of your percentages with the exact same number of customers you already have. You don't have to get any new customers. You just have to talk about it more. You know, there are things, the T demonstration doesn't work as effectively there. That's an absolute true thing, because the TDS a lot of times along the East Coast is less than 100, and the T demo just doesn't work as well. And so you have to find other ways to present it, you know, and talk about it. But there's absolutely a market there for it. So that's a statistic to take a look at. I would take a look at, you know, the number of referrals that you get. That's one to take a look at. The bottom line is, it's sometimes difficult. I've seen some companies out there that have these huge spreadsheets, right, where there's just a ton of data on there. And that's a good place to go to look at it. I do think that it gets a little difficult sometimes and can get a little overwhelming to look at every last statistic. My suggestion to you all as sales professionals would be to pick 3 or 4 statistics. Maybe it's closing ratio. Maybe it's system sales. Maybe it's the number of follow-ups that you're completing. Maybe it's how many creatives versus house that you have. Okay. Whatever stats you choose, maybe it's less than that. Maybe you only pick 2 or 3 to focus on. But take a look at them aside from what your company is asking you to do. Take a look at your own statistics. Really pay attention to those. Focus on those. Set a goal to improve 1 or 2 of those statistics. I think just by doing that alone, by not keeping track of them because, you know, it's because Motor Vitality has told you to do that on the reports that we do. Some of you are on the Color MV Pros, and, you know, you have to do those reports. Some of you work for companies like Stacy, like you, that has that. You know, take that and focus on it on your own, and see if focusing on those stats, on growing those individual areas, help you determine ways that you can improve on those. I instead of saying, oh, I'm going to get more sales this month, which is a statistic, your total number of sales, that's a stat, right? But dig down a little bit more and see if it helps to recognize and improve on some of the other stats. I think you'll find that all of your sales numbers will improve when you start digging down and looking at some of the specific statistics. What are your thoughts on that, you guys? What do you think? I know you guys are muted. I'll give you a second.
You faded out on me. What was?
What? What's that?
I said you faded out for a moment. What was the question?
I said, what are your thoughts on that, you guys? What are your thoughts?
I've been working on tracking number of appointments generated out of leads, because some of them just do not go anywhere. So I'm trying to up that number particularly.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. That helps identify, I mean, you know, that one, especially when you're looking at where the leads are coming from, you know, how many times the phone is ringing and how many times that converts to an in-home appointment, you know, or how many of those are one-leggers. I mean, if you have 10 appointments in a week and 7 of them are one-leggers and they're house leads and set by the office, that's a conversation I would be having. You know what? We were talking about this with somebody yesterday, one of the MV Pros, the companies that we have that has a lot of problems with the one-leggers. And I think a lot of that is because We should definitely do a call someday on the one-legger topic, you know, how to address that and what to do with it. Because mostly I think, especially in house leads, when those leads come into the office, it has so much to do with how you're wording it and what you're, you know, what you're saying. But I think a lot of that is that people in the office, but especially our customers, don't know that we are willing to work when both people are going to be home. So that's a good one to know. I mean, all of these stats, bottom line, we're going to wrap this up here today, but all of these stats will give you information on how to improve as a whole. The summary of all of this is, if we're going to be professionals, we need to emulate what other professionals do, and other professionals know their stats. They know what they're doing, and they know the areas that they have to improve in. They know what to practice and to work on in order to grow and improve. Okay, that takes us to 9 o'clock Eastern. And so I want to thank everybody. It's always an honor. I look forward to these calls every week. Everybody be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks.